Okay, 51 is supposed to be the AM FM, solar corona. Okay, again, the comments here are off. Okay, there's the AM FM. Now there it is running around. Okay, now here it is going to get this. It's trying to get the gnomon. There's a magnet holder there. And I see. And the gnomon Gosper has in his hand. So he's only now dropping it in there. So it realizes that it has gripped it. It does have that much force sense. And now it's moving it around. And it moves it, and then it searches for it with the vivisector. And it finds it, and it establishes the coordinate transformation. And here we're looking at the 340, and it's able to essentially do a reverse transform, and you see what the grippers would look like reprojected back to the 340. And so it's moving around, and it calibrates itself, and this is probably the best thing that this thing really did, as far as I'm concerned, in terms of actually doing something useful besides just kind of managing to barely work, which was so much work in those days that it was really very hard to get anything done. So here it is going through this calibration. Okay, now. Now it's calibrated, and it's again we're looking at the 340 and seeing the projections. I think this is some kind of a check that shows a difference in the calibration or something that it just did. These triangles. I think it took six positions. So that represents the six. Inputs of the gnomon at six different positions of the arm, and then it solves equations and establishes transformations. Okay, now there it is putting the gnomon back in place, and if it works, it's able to do that without assistance. It can just sort of put it back up there. The magnet will kind of go ka-chunk, and then it can just let go of it and let it go. So looks like he has to help it in this one, but it was able to pick it up and put it back without assistance fairly well. And it was feeling happy about that. Okay, here's Gosper demonstrating that again there is a slight amount of force feedback on the fingers, and he can just push at the fingers, and the arm will move back. And that's good as far as it goes, but it doesn't go too far. So as we saw with the other program, it's capable of coming down on top of something and going munch and not really realizing what it's doing. Here is the vivisector again, searching for a cube and just hunting around and eventually finding it. And now it's going to send the arm down, picks the cube up. Sure enough, picks it up and shows the gripping, shows it moving, puts it down somewhere. So that's hand-eye coordination. That's another good thing that this did. Now, up here's the vivisector. Here's one of the vivisectors. We had two vivisectors that worked pretty well. This is a small one. And that was its thing. It was pretty slow. I mean, I think it was probably 50 microseconds or more to read in a point. So, it was it was fairly high resolution, but to use it as a TV would be pretty hard because, there's a lot of points there, and the rate of reading in a full frame would be several seconds per frame or something, even if you could hold all the data, which you couldn't. Here it is picking up cubes. And now I think it's doing a sorting thing, maybe. We see this to the left of the vertical thing. We see the square rod, which is coupled to the extend, and so that's how the extend works. And it was very strong. And it was a big hydraulic motor. It was a 5-horsepower hydraulic source, and the extend of the AMF arm could really deliver a punch if it. Something went wrong, and it decided to do that. It was very dangerous. And I was just earlier today talking with Jerry Sussman, and somebody was relating some story about the thing was vibrating towards him, and just about punched him, and so forth. Okay, I wasn't there at the time, but that's a good story. Actually, Sussman wasn't.
Why did you just add Marshall?
Well, basically, it was controlled by these hydraulic servo valves, and they were very sensitive and very high quality control when everything was working right. However, there's a lot of wires being moved around here. They fray and they develop breaks and intermittency sometimes. And then when that happens, you know, all hell breaks loose because, you know, you're not getting your feedback, and then all of a sudden it makes contact, and you do, and, you know, it goes, really can be quite dangerous, and apparently that happened to Sussman at some point. At least that's a story. It wasn't me that was telling the story. It was me that was listening to the story. And it wasn't Sussman who was telling it either. So it's, anyway, okay, so here we are picking up cubes and sorting cubes, and that's pretty much what that clip is. That's 51.